Well, let's open with a word of prayer. Father, what an honor to be here, to have access to your throne, to be invited to come boldly to the throne of grace with a true heart and full assurance of faith. And so we come this morning, Lord, and as we're here to pray, but first we want to just remember you in song and then also look at a prayer in the Bible again this morning, Lord. Lead us and guide us now by your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we are in another prayer in 1 Thessalonians. We were there 2 weeks ago and in chapter 3, and now we have a very short prayer as part of the benediction in verse 23 of chapter 5. And so the thrust of the prayer is for the God of peace himself to sanctify us completely. And sanctify means set apart. And so I was looking at this morning, the words from that short song, Refiner's Fire, came to my mind because it's set apart for you, my master, ready to do your will. So that sanctify is to be set apart. So let's just sing along. The words are on the top of your notes there. Purify my heart, let me be as gold and precious silver.
Make
Yes, indeed. Ready to do your will and purify our hearts, Lord. Well, a couple of weeks ago, we were in the third chapter of Thessalonians. And remember that faith, hope, and love is the theme through this epistle. And also to be ready for the second coming of the Lord. This is a very big theme here in this letter. And we had in the last prayer, Paul praying for the church in Thessaloniki to perfect what is lacking in your faith, to increase and abound in love to one another and to all, so that the Lord may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so that was the prayer. And then Paul spends some time talking about purity and an orderly life and the comfort of Christ's coming, and then the day of the Lord, those great verses there, which gives us a very clear description of the rapture. And then he closes this little epistle with a whole bunch of exhortations. He says in verse 14, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all." You got all those down? Everybody doing all of that every day, all the time? No. "See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil." So those are the exhortations he gives, and then he has his closing benediction, and it begins with a very brief prayer, but a very all-inclusive prayer focused on God himself. "Now may the God of peace himself, sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So that's the prayer. It's very short. We can even kind of understand those words, I think, pretty well. They're not really all that complicated. But we notice that he is asking that the Father would set us apart. The sanctify means to set us apart. May God of peace himself, and he is not the God of war, he is not the God of unruliness, he's the God of peace in this context, and may he himself set you apart completely. How completely are you set apart from the world? And this prayer is for now until the Lord's coming. It's not after the Lord comes. We'll obviously be purified then by him. But this is the prayer now, because it's now, may the God of peace himself set apart you completely, perfectly, totally. And then he's going to be all-inclusive with us, because he says, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body. Now, there's nothing left out there. Your whole spirit, soul, and body. Now, we can never quite figure out what the soul and the spirit, well, I can't figure it out, but it's very clear. We have a mind, we have a body, and we have a soul, believers or unbelievers. But the believer is a little different in that the body has a spirit that's been born again, alive, right? We have a live spirit. And the order gets reversed there, because in the garden, I'm sure, before the sin, Adam was spirit first, then soul, then body. His body would have been subservient to the spirit. But after the fall, the spirit died, and so the order gets reversed. And now you and I, as we look around in the world, the body is on top. Me, me, me. Selfish, selfish, selfish. Pride, pride, pride. Arrogance, arrogance. It's all about me. All about me. I don't want to surrender. I don't want to submit. I don't want to do anything other than self-centered, right? So that's the body on top. But now you'll notice here in this order, this is the right order, I believe, God's order, spirit, soul, and body. This is the only place we see all three of those terms that I'm aware of in the scripture. We see soul and spirit seven times linked together. We see soul and body also another seven times linked together. We see spirit and body 13 times linked together. And we can make a trichotomy out of this, that man is a junior of the Trinity in body, soul, and spirit. But this is the only place it's really given, so I don't want to make too much of a thing that this is superseding everything else that's there. But it's all inclusive. It's not in disagreement with anything. But the point here to me is that he is praying that the God himself would set all of me apart, all apart completely. No worldliness left in me. No secret places in my heart that I'm saying, Lord, you know, I'm going to give myself to you except in this one little area over here. And I don't want to let that go because I really like that area. I really worked on that. You know, I've got maybe an advanced degree in education or something, and I've worked really hard to get that. And you know, I know that doesn't always agree with the Bible, but I can't let that go because I really invested a lot of time in learning that, you know. We want to let everything go that is not in accordance with him, right? So that's the prayer. May the God of peace himself set us apart completely, and may your whole, he doesn't even say just may your soul, spirit, soul, and body, that would be everything, but he even adds in addition to that, the whole spirit, soul, and body. You remember in the sacrifices, the burnt offering is the offering of consecration, and that's where there were two rams, and the ram of consecration was put all on the altar, everything on the altar. It wasn't chopped in pieces or anything, it's just all on the altar. And that's what we kind of are looking at here to me. All of us are being set apart for him. And how are they to be until he comes? To be preserved. Of course, you know that means kept. Some of you may even, good cooks or whatever, may have made preserves. You know, you have something that lasts, right? May be preserved what? Blameless. 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 How close does that come to you? How close does it come to me? Probably a lot closer to you than to me. But we want to be, as Paul is praying for them, preserved, blameless, at or until, could be another translation of that word at, or to could be another translation of that preposition there. But until the coming of our Lord Jesus. So it doesn't mean that we can live any old way we want, and when the Lord comes, then we're all going to be right. No. We want to be preserved completely, totally blameless by God the Father setting us apart until the Lord returns, right? So that's fairly easy to understand. I don't know that it's so easy to do, but with his help, we can. Otherwise, we wouldn't be given this instruction, right? Yeah. So as we go to prayer this morning, may we be led by his Spirit. We want to pray for those things that the Spirit would put on our heart, and I certainly would think that would include the body of Christ. I think it would include the church around the world. I think it would include the persecuted church. I think it would include the lost, for sure. And it would include our nation, I think, if you feel led to pray for the nation. Certainly would include our government and the leaders. We're instructed to pray for kings and those in authority. And we want to pray that they would have the fear of God in their hearts. No ruler can rule without the fear of God, and yet very few rulers have the fear of God, so we see the mess that we have in the world and fighting and all that. So we have plenty to pray for, but let's keep our prayers short, and we're all praying as led by the Spirit, so we would be totally in one accord as long as we're praying as led by the Spirit. And anytime any one of us goes off on our own tangent, then the Spirit just kind of, you know, because it's not really being led by the Spirit. If I'm leading by my own self, it's not the Spirit. So may we be led by the Spirit, and don't be concerned if we have some quiet times, because we want to, if we're hearing from the Lord, that's better than any of our best prayers in the world, really, too. So let's go to prayer now. Father, we thank you for this prayer of the Apostle Paul, that you, Holy Spirit, writing through it. And Lord, we thank you that you yourself would set us apart completely, and that our totalness of us would be preserved blameless until you come. And so here we are this morning with a great opportunity to pray, and may we use these moments wisely now led by your Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen.